Today's message is going to be very simple. I want to make one major point. And we'll be talking about binding and loosing. And we're following through on what we would call the doctrine of binding and loosing. What does that mean, to bind and loose? Well, if I put it this way, and I took some of you younger people here that are smaller than me and weaker than me, and I tied your hands behind your back and bound up your feet, tied a rope around that, and then told you to behave, you wouldn't have much choice now, would you? But then again, that wouldn't be the right thing to do. And then someone would come along and say, wait a minute, why you got this kid tied up here? Let me cut her loose. And next thing you know, we would be loose. You'd be free. So binding and loosing in some ways is as simple as that. Tying something up, letting something go free. Letting something, preventing things from happening and causing things to happen. Loosing the powers of heaven. Loosing the grace of God. Loosing people from the bondage of sin. So I want to read a couple of scriptures to you here this morning, because binding and loosing is the responsibility of the believer. In other words, we have been called to do exactly that here on earth, to bind and to loose. I want to read a couple of scriptures, just refresh your memory from last week, and then move on. Matthew 18, verse 18. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. And again I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in their midst. Now, I haven't yet attached, I'm waiting for my theologian friend to come through with me on this here, but I haven't tied together yet the aspect of agreement, although I know we need agreement in prayer, and binding and loosing, because I know we can bind and loose by ourselves. But I know that there's more authority and power in whatever we pray when we pray together before God and in agreement with God. In Ephesians 1, 3, 4, verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every blessing, has blessed us with every blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Actually, in the heavenlies in Christ. Just as he chose us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. There are a couple of truths that I'd like you to take out of these two verses. And they're simple. The first thing is, I want you to know when you look at this, the Father has blessed us. We have been blessed. It's not that we're going to be blessed, that we'll someday be blessed, but you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing that is in Christ. That doesn't leave room for anything else. I mean, that's a full blessing that Christ has purchased for us. He has not only purchased for us, but that he has been given, because he has all authority and all power, and his name is above every name in this age and in the age to come. So the Father's blessed us. We've got everything he's given us is in the person of Christ, and we have it. And then if we have Christ, we have all that we'll ever need in life on earth and life eternal. So if you have Jesus, you have everything that you need, because he holds everything that you need. He created everything that you need. And if he didn't have it, he'd make it for you if you had a need. See, he's God. He can do that. And third, God chose us in Christ that we should be set apart and without blame before him. I want you to understand that the whole purpose that we exist is we exist for God. Everything else, family, friends, things, beautiful earth we live on, all that is wonderful. But the reason we're here is because God brought us here. He gave us life. And he gives us purpose with that life. So if we have Christ, we have everything. And God chose us and set us apart and out without blame before him. Now, why is that important? God chose us, he loves us, and he sees us in his Son as blameless. Now, I'm going to develop this a little bit more for you if we can. Okay, if you were to, I don't know that even if you close your eyes, this would help you, but it might. You are seated with God, right with Christ in the heavenly places. And you can just sit there with him right now. Just sit. Just like that sheep that the shepherd puts into the pasture, causes to lie down in the green pasture by the still waters. You can sit there that peacefully, right in the presence of God the Father, right next to God the Son. And when God the Father looks over at you, he sees you with his Son, perfect, accepted, and loved. What a wonderful place to be. Not fearfully cringing before Almighty God, guilty before Almighty God. No. Instead, my son has brought his friend with him today. He's in my house. I like his friend. He's just like my son. See, that's the place that God wants you to see, in the sense, the comfort that you have. Yes, he is Almighty God. But I'm trying to say to you, this is what the blood of Jesus, the sacrifice of Jesus, bought for you, bought for me. What an incredible, incredible gift. Let me read a little bit further and say this. You say, but yes, but now, you know, I just got out of that green pasture. My soul was restored when you said all of this, but here I am now, and I'm sitting here, and I didn't have the best day yesterday, and I had some buttons that got pushed, and I had some thoughts I shouldn't have had. Was I really in that place that I just imagined, or was it real? Well, let me just say this, that the war between the spirit and the flesh cannot change how God sees you, how he sees us, and how he loves us, how much he loves us. You can't change that because we're not perfect. Our perfection is in the Son. That's how the Father chooses to see us, not because of what we have done, but because of what Jesus has done. And that's an important thing to grasp, if we can grasp it. Because the devil always wants to make you feel guilty. He wants to make you feel like you're a loser. He wants to knock you down. But you know what? If you understand what Jesus Christ has done for you and how much he loves you and where he has placed you, you're going to realize that you have been given the authority to knock him down. Hello. You've been given the authority to change things through Jesus Christ. And I want to continue with that thought for a moment. So we, even the war we struggle with between the spirit and the flesh, it won't change how God looks at us. But not only that, we have to see that it does not in any way hinder our ability to bind and to loose and to carry out the work that God has given us here in the earth. Keep that in mind. Ephesians 2:4 says this, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And he raised us up with him and seated him with us with him in the heavenly places in Christ. So now watch this last verse, very simple verse, but one we kind of gloss over. And it says this, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. I want you to think about that verse for a moment. We're in ages to come from when Paul wrote this. We're here right now. What we're seeing is this mercy, this grace, unmerited blessing of God working in us right now and showing the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us, that God has towards us, in the fact that we can go out there and we can, in fact, lay hands on the sick and see them recover, see the blind eyes open, see the person that's bound in alcoholism or addiction or in pornography or in whatever thing has hold of them set free. That's grace, my friend. That's grace. And that's the kind of thing that we want to remember all the time. Say, I'm just not worthy to pray for him. Yes, you are. You may have fouled up today. You might have had the wrong thought, but I want to tell you something now. Get the right thought in your mind. Christ is with you. Do what he's called you to do. He'll come through for you. He'll hear your prayer and he'll answer it. Now, you say, well, if I'm a sinner, listen, a sinner is a person that continually practices sin. It's like a bad musician hitting bad notes over and over again. You know, he's just doing the wrong thing all the time. That's not what you are. God says you're a saint. What does that mean? He means you're a holy one. You're a true believer. It means you've been set apart to him. It doesn't mean somebody's going to give you make a statue for you someplace. That's not going to happen. But what it does mean is that that's who you are in Christ. And don't forget that. You might say this, it's a fact. God blessed us with every spiritual blessing, and God seated us in the heavenly places with Christ. Do you realize that that place that we just talked about before, that that's a place of relationship? That's a place where we interact with God. In and of itself, we're called to have an intimate relationship with the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. And our earth and our on earth, we're on this earth to mirror Christ to the world as we work out the things, the works that he has given us from before the foundation of the world, the ministry and the gifts. And we do that in a number of ways. And one way that we carry out his work is in binding and loosing. Binding and loosing. Also, the fact that you're seated with God in heaven makes an inseparable link between binding and loosing and heaven and earth. That's important. You are heaven's ambassador here on earth. You're heaven's person here on earth. In fact, part of our ministry is to set it free those who are bound. And we do so by both binding and loosing the bound, freeing them from the powers of darkness. And as I said, that's an inseparable relationship, that tie between heaven and earth. Neil Forster, author of Binding and Loosing, points to accounts in the New Testament as symbolic of binding and loosing. Most of us are familiar with the miracle, this miracle, that is the raising of Lazarus. And just to give you a little background, if you're not familiar with it, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha were friends of Jesus. They lived in a town called Bethany, which was but 2 miles from Jerusalem. Jesus had been in that region recently and most likely stayed with them. And Mary, the Mary in the story of Martha and Mary, is the Mary that wiped Jesus' hair, came in. That the Pharisees said, don't you know a sinner's doing that? Well, she's the one that poured that expensive ointment on his feet and washed his feet with her hair. So Jesus left the area. Lazarus then fell sick. So Martha and Mary sent for Jesus. Jesus received the word that Lazarus was sick, and now it came time he had to go back there. So he delayed. He delayed for more than a couple of days, before he set back out to Bethany. Now the disciples pointed out to him, Jesus, you know, you go back there. They tried to stone you. They wanted to stone you when you were there just a short while ago. This is a dangerous place to be. And it would be Thomas, who sometimes we call Doubting Thomas later on, who says, you know what, it doesn't matter. If we die there, we die there, we go. And Jesus said, well, Lazarus is sleeping. He said, oh, that's good, he's going to be okay. He said, no, he's dead. And finally he gets there to Bethany. Word of it reaches Mary, so she runs out to meet him. And we pick this up in John chapter 11 and verse 21, John 11, verse 21. Then Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, he'll give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, it was Martha who went out to see him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. I love that. I love that. Shall never die. We pass from this life into the next. And she said to him, yes, Lord. And he said to her, do you believe this? And she said, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, who has come into the world. Well, they proceed on. And he says, show me where you buried him. Now, by this time, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. Except if you were in a frozen environment, but in a warm environment, in that part of the decay starts almost immediately. And that's why they bury in 1 day, because by day two, there's a bad odor. The body is decomposing already. Now we have this situation here where Jesus comes to the tomb. And he stands there before the tomb and he sees the stone. Obviously, Martha and Mary, and they're pretty wealthy people. They got a cave that he's buried in. It's not just a hole in the ground that he's being put in, but he's in the cave and there's a stone rolled across it. And he says, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there's a stench. He's been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that you would that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from that place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his voice. Well, this is, your whole crowd has come now. They've been following. They're well known in the community, Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And so Martha's running over here to the tomb. People are following. It's time of mourning. There's deep emotion. There's great loss. Obviously, they all have remained single, it seems, at this point in time. That's their little family group, and everybody's coming. And Jesus standing there, roll the stone away. I imagine he could have just said, stone, roll away, and it would have rolled away, but it didn't. He didn't do that. Somebody rolled the stone away. That's important. What's more important is what happens after that. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me because of the people who are standing by. I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now, when he has said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And that's probably as quiet as it was when he said that. Until he who had died appears at opening the empty tomb, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. Can you imagine it? All of a sudden, nothing, and then there stands a man like this, bound, head to toe, standing like this here, coming out, napkin over his face. What an incredible sight. Can you just imagine that? And then Jesus says something here, something my brother Tom preached on 30 years ago. Good insight then, brother. Still have it now. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, loose him, untie him, unbind him, and let him go. Well, reasoning, if he could have said, stone, move away, he had somebody move the stone. Then out comes Lazarus, bound. Do you think maybe he could have had him come out unbound? What's this all about? And now he gives the instruction of loosing him and letting him go to the people that are there. So we can speculate on why Jesus gave it to others to loose him, but over the years of ministry, I find that most believers are in one sense or another bound in some areas of their lives. And although they have been born again, have received eternal life and forgiveness, they're still bound with some of the things from the past. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? See, we all come through life and they're scars. Well, we have a new spirit in us. We've been recreated in Christ. But we still have these emotional wounds. We have these other things that have been given to us, that we've received stripes, you might say, scars that you might say, some of them deep inside from the hurts of abandonment, of rejection, of, what shall I say, of abuse and neglect, or just lies that have come against us from the enemy. And we're still in need of being unbound. We still have forgiveness issues, and we need help. So we are loosing people. And so the point is here now, each of us, although now free in Christ, although headed for heaven, still needs some ministry and help. That's why we're here, to make people whole. Jesus said he binds up the brokenhearted. I want you to think about that. Brokenhearted means that are shattered on the inside, that just smashed down and like a piece of a pottery or a glass that just splinters. And God says, I'm going to put that back together. And when I start putting it back together, but that's the role of his church, God working through his church to bind this back together, to hold it back together. So I want you to think about this. Loosing through various kinds of ministry is given to the church. And much as a newborn child is given to a parent as a gift from God, raising up that child under the admonition of the Lord is the work of the parent. It's the responsibility. Here, you're blessed. I'm giving you this child. Now, this child belongs to me. I want you to take this child and raise him up for me. That child can only be what God has called them to be when the parents get a hold of these things, work with that child, raise that child, teach that child. And with the grace of God, God will bless them and give them wisdom and help in that process. So in summary, Satan bound, Jesus loosed. And there was a woman, Luke 13 and verse 11, borrowed the second illustration, you're familiar with it, who had a sickness caused by a spirit. This is important. We have all of these debates in the church. You know how many crippled Christians there are out there that pastors are sending them to psychiatrists and psychologists to get their act together? You know, do this, go for counseling, go for this, go for that. The only counselor I have found in this book is in Isaiah 9 and some other counselors that gather together to do things. My point being that Jesus has sent you and me to help people get free, to set them free. Now, we don't do it in our own power. We do it in the power of God, the Spirit of God. Here's this woman, 18 years, bound with the sickness of spirit. She's bent over double. This is how this woman has walked for 18 years. Can you imagine that? Walking 18 years. What do they see? Oh, that poor old crippled lady. Look at that poor old lady. Look at that poor old man on there. He bent over now and he can't get up. I can't. I'm just teasing you. That's all. All right. But here's the thing. This is what you see. And she comes in the synagogue every Sabbath. Every Sabbath she's walking through. Every Sabbath there she's, oh, there's old lady Martha there. Hi, Martha, how are you? Yeah, they do nothing. But Jesus is there on this day. This is a different day. And Jesus notices her condition. And when Jesus saw her, he called her over. Mary, come over here. And then he says to her, woman, you are free from your sickness. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made erect and began glorifying God. Can you imagine her there? Oh, praise God, praise God. But you know, you had these religious people there, these religious leaders. We have them today. And the only thing they could think about, well, this was the Sabbath. This day is not a day for work. And the first thing that the synagogue official, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, he began saying to the crowd in response, she's glorifying God. There are 6 days. There are 6 days to get healed, and not on the Sabbath day. But the Lord answered him and said, you hypocrite. You hypocrites. Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox, unbind the ox from the stall, and lead him out so he can eat, right? Or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to water him. And this woman, notice, a daughter of Abraham. How many of you are in Christ? Every woman that is in Christ is a daughter of Abraham. I want you to know that. That's a fact. You are a daughter of Abraham. You are a child of God, but you are also a daughter of Abraham because you're a daughter of promise. Don't you ever forget that. And he goes on to say, whom Satan has bound for 18 years, should she not have been released from this bond on the Sabbath day? And the woman with the injured back, I'll tell a real quick story. I think I'm running over here. I didn't put, hit the clock, but I'll make it quick. There was a time my late wife and I were home, and there was a lady in our church. She's quite spiritual. She used to prophesy almost every week. She had a wonderful gift of prophecy. And we got a call that she was unable to get up. She was in serious pain with her back, and she couldn't move. So we hopped in our car. We drove up to, Bedford, Manchester, wherever they lived. And we got in there, and so we went into the house, and we began to pray. And she's told, I don't know what happened to my back. I went to get up, and I can't move. And you know, she's out in the living room at this point in time, of course. So she's moving, but she says it's just a terrible pain. So we lay hands on her. And we pray. I sit her in the chair, and some people make fun of this, but I tell you, like, one leg is longer than the other. Actually, what it is your back is twisted with the muscles, but pulling it up, the bones are out of place. So we pray, and whoosh, God heals her. And she gets up, and she says, oh, thank you. She bends down. She says, that feels so good. And she must have walked, I kid you not, I'll say from here, where we're here, and I can't go past these yellow lines, but it's appropriate distance. She walked about like this, and then she went like that, just like that. And I can tell you the truth, I could see almost in the spirit, it was like there was somebody with a bat that just whacked her just like that. And immediately, I knew it was a demon. And I said, in the name of Jesus, you come out of her. And boom, she was healed, and the pain was gone. I just told you, she's a wonderful woman of God. Was she evil because she had a demonic spirit impact her like that? No. It's what the devil does. He's evil. And it's what we do. We bring the healing power of God to bring to them freedom and mercy. She was immediately healed, praising God and thanking God. So, although the author of Binding and Loosing had some additional concept. These are like shadows and types, so to speak. I didn't use them because I didn't feel that it was necessary to use them. But I'll give you one more illustration. It's crazy. I got this mom. She calls me. Why, little pastor? My kid, he's getting hurt all the time. I said, what do you mean he's getting hurt? His head. No matter what, he goes to play on the swing. Somebody hits him with the swing. He gets to go off the swing. He falls on his head. He walked over the house. He tripped. He hit his head. And he said, this goes on every day. Every day he's banging his head, banging his head. I said, no problem. Let's go pray. So we went, and we bound the spirit of destruction. Cast it out of him. Isn't this crazy? Guess what? The kid's banging his head every day, no longer banging his head. No longer falling on his head. Nobody else is hitting him in the head. Is that coincidence, or is it the fact that the demon is, or the devil seems to bind and oppress, but we come to set people free? These are crazy things you wouldn't even think about that they happen, but they happen. And now they're healed. And with that, I want to say, I want to just leave you with these thoughts, that you personally, you have a ministry of binding and loosing. Now, we're going to move that over into prayer in a few weeks as we continue on. But I want you to get the idea here that you are here to carry out the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on this planet. Hallelujah. And you're no slouch. And no matter what you may think of yourself and how fearful you may be, even at this very moment, even thinking about having to do stuff like this, there is a giant that lives in you that is bigger than any giant that ever lived in all the earth, and he rules and reigns, and he's seated at the right hand of God, and his name is Jesus. Don't you ever forget that. God bless you today.